Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. We have gathered here to worship Him. And the Lord God is worthy of worship and praise. It's a priority for you, I know, to be here today, and thank the Lord that you are. Let's go to Him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless Your holy name. You are God. We're not. We recognize that. We know that we are powerless when it comes to eternal things, but You are not. You are the Lord of all. You are eternal God. You are from the beginning all the way through the end of the age. We bless You, Lord. Even beyond that, You are infinity, and we give You glory for that. The King of the universe, You're worthy to be worshipped. You've loved us so much, You sent Your Son Jesus, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us in Him. And help us to take hold of that today. Thank You that we can have a relationship with You through Your Son Jesus. Let us fully be connected with You today. Let Your Holy Spirit move in our midst, in our souls and spirits, and in this building amongst the believers as we've gathered in Your holy name. We know that You're here, for You promised, Lord, where two or more gathered, that You would be in our midst, and we're gathered in Your name today, and we know that to be a fact. We love You and praise You. Help us now as we sing, as we pour out our hearts to You, as we listen, as we pray, as we fellowship, that everything would be done for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that He is the Lord. And it's only at the name of Jesus that we can be saved. Let's stand as we sing, as we bless that name, the holy name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. welcome you this morning. So glad you're here and part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Glad the Lord's led you to worship with us here at First Baptist Church. Take a moment, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Here's a new song we're going to learn during this month. What wonder of wonders, what love is this, that Christ would die for me. His goodness, His merit, His righteousness, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, foolish pride, be crucified, the work is finished. All my boast is in Jesus. All my hope is His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done. Now fully forgiven, my life is filled with graces undeserved. For mercy that flowed down that sacred hill, let praises now return. Rise up, my soul, and bless the Lord who helps. Seated. All my boast is in Jesus.
Thank you.
When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. It's hymn number 321. Sing all four stanzas. After we finish the third stanza, I'll have us all stand together to receive our morning offering.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, thanking you, dear Father, for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We thank you, Father, this morning for this church, what it means to so many. And Father, we just pray that you'd continue to bless us and you'd continue to use us here in your service. Father, we ask this morning that you be with our service, men and women, whether they're serving on home or foreign soil. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would just put your protective and guiding hand upon them. Bless them and bless those family members that wait anxiously to hear from them. Now, Father, as we come to this part of the service where we give back to you a portion of that that you've so graciously and generously given to us, Father, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver, and may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. These things we ask in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Karen. While she was playing, I was just thanking God for the wonderful musicians that we have here at our church, for me to get to work with and to bless us during our worship times together. And Karen playing the piano and on the organ, and we're just so blessed. And Scotty's filling in on the soundboard today. He's our keyboard piano player in early worship, and just so thankful for him and all of our musicians, all of our singers in the choir, and the praise team in the early worship ensemble as well. So we're really blessed, and blessed to have volunteers to serve and taking care of our media, like Carson Clark's doing today for us. And we're grateful for all of the folks that help and make our worship as good as possible to keep us focused on the right things. So thank y'all so much. This morning I told a story about morning news show I saw. I saw a feature on Michael Strahan's daughter. Michael Strahan is a former NFL great player with the New York Giants. And after that, he's been a celebrity. He's on morning shows. He does game shows on TV. And he's a commentator on NFL analyst on some of the Sunday shows, and really a popular figure in our country. And he was talking during this interview, his daughter has cancer, and she wanted to talk about it. And she did a beautiful job, eloquent. And, but when they interviewed him, he said something that struck me, and it kind of sums up all of us, really. He realized in the middle of his daughter's illness how powerless he was to do anything about it. And in the eternal things, we're also powerless. But we have a Savior, we have a God who is all-powerful. And if we will put our trust in Him, let Him have control, then there's where the victory lies. And we can have our victory in Him. And when we're out of control, we know that God is in control. And so I hope that you'll take hold of what we've been talking about through the music today, what Brother Joel's going to preach about today, and put your faith in Christ. And if you're going to boast about anything, boast in Him. On a hill in Israel, mercy spoke to me, mercy spoke to me. His mercy spoke to me. It was on Golgotha's tree, His death brought liberty, His death brought liberty. Yes, your death brought liberty. May I never boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. May I not forget the blood He shed. It is by His death I am alive. Because of Christ, I am alive. What a humble sacrifice. Love that washed me clean, a love that washed me clean. Lord, your love has washed me clean. What a blessed mystery. His punishment, my peace. Lord, your punishment, my peace. May I never boast in anything Accept the cross of Jesus Christ. May I not forget the blood you shed. It is by your death, Lord, I am alive. Because of Christ, I am alive. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Death has lost its grip on me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus rose in victory. He's alive, alive in me. May I never boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. May I not forget the blood he shed. Lord, it is by your death I am alive. Because of Christ, I am alive. Because of Christ, I am alive. Because of Christ, I am alive.
Thank you, Ken. We sang that in early worship, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Sometimes we sing the same songs, but they're so different in how we actually sing those songs. About halfway through the song, I was thinking, we sang that song in early worship, did we not? Yes. Great. All right, so that's where we are today. Now, that song that Ken just sang, we actually sang in early worship. I think Vince was the lead singer on that particular song. That's where we're going to end today, and we're going to do that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Last Sunday, we started a series for the month of January. It's just four Sundays of January, short, small series, and it's about humility and wisdom. So all that's going on in our world, war in Europe, war in the Middle East, war in Africa, civil war in Africa, and then we've got an election year right here in our own backyard in America that's going to get ugly and uglier and uglier and uglier as the weeks go on. So we've got all of this darkness, we've got all of this doom, all of this heaviness in the world that we live in. I was saying this morning in early worship that I even saw where David Jeremiah out in California was doing a series for his church called Encouraging Words in Discouraging Times. So he kind of has the same thing that I did when I was thinking about how do we get through starting 2024, and he was thinking about, boy, it's discouraging times, and how do we offer encouraging words to the body of Christ during these tough, discouraging times. And so I'm headed in a totally different direction, but it's the same basic idea. With all of this doom and gloom and darkness and heaviness all over us, what does the Word say to us? How can the Lord guide us and direct us? And so I was led to humility and wisdom. And so last week we basically started this whole series off by basically with this foundation. A follower of Jesus Christ, somebody that is a believer, knows Christ as Savior and Lord. I've repented of my sin. I've put my trust and my faith in Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. And God, because of that, has provided for me salvation. I am now a child of the King. All right. So those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we are humble in that, we realize that everything is a gift from God the Father. Everything. Preachers say that stuff all the time. But what does that really mean? Everything is a gift from the Father. And I say that all of the time. Physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. Everything is God's hand and the gift of God's hand to me. My physical life is a gift from God. My emotional, my mental, my physical, my spiritual, everything that God does is a gift to me. We have this terrible tendency, however, as Christians, to see only good things as gifts from God. Something good happens to us and we get on Facebook and we say, God is good. Look, this happened, and we tell about how good it was. And then we say, and God is good. But is God good even in the bad things? Yes. So everything is a gift from the Father. What if I wake up tomorrow morning and I just so happen to check my bank account? And in my bank account, I now have $1 million. I don't know who put it there. I don't know why they put it there. All I can do is say, Lord, thank you for that incredible gift. Isn't God good? Yes. If you want to do that, by the way, I'll give you the account number. I mean, if that's what you want to do, then that's fine with me. All right. So what if that happens? Boy, what I really would. I would be on my knees saying, Lord, thank you for that. That's what a gift. So-and-so did it, but you prompted that person, and what a gift that you've given to me. What if I wake up tomorrow morning and, boy, it just falls apart like a cheap suit? And I go see John, and John sits me down in his office, and he says, hey, you got about a week. That's a gift. What a gift. What a gift from God the Father. Everything is a gift. Everything. Sovereign God is sovereign over the universe. He either is or he's not. He's either sovereign and in control of everything that is and everything that ever has been, everything that ever will be, or he is not. Everything is a gift from God the Father. And when a believer truly knows that and understands that, not just the good things, but everything is a gift from God's hand down to us. Everything is a gift. Then, as a believer, I am now on the road to real, true, biblical wisdom. Nobody wants to be considered a fool. Nobody. I don't. I don't want to be considered a fool. And you don't want to be considered a fool. Either a fool acts in ways that brings shame and ridicule and condemnation to his or her life. But what if, just what if, and that's where we are today, what if a large group that you live in, all right, let's just say this large group, we'll call it the American culture, what if the group that you associate with, that you live in, America, defines what has been deemed foolish as wisdom and what has been deemed wisdom as foolish? What then? What happens then? What happens if you live in a world or you live in a culture that has turned it upside down? What is really foolish is actually wisdom, and what is really wisdom is actually foolish. What if you live in a place where the world applauds that which actually silly and foolish, but the world says that's wisdom? And what is really wisdom? What is really biblical wisdom from the Creator Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit through His Word? What is actually wisdom? The world that you and I live in says that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. What happens then? What happens if you live in a world that thinks what is foolish is wisdom and what is wisdom is actually foolhardy and foolish? Well, decisions have got to be made. We've got to make some decisions, don't we? Because unless you're missing the sermon, that's exactly the whole point. That's the world that you and I live in. It's been that way. It's been that way from the very beginning. It's not that ours is any stranger or any weirder than other cultures. No, it's the world that you and I live in. So what do you do? What do we do? What, as followers of Jesus Christ, do we really want real, biblical wisdom to live by? Or will we do like most even people who claim to know Christ as Savior and Lord, and just simply settle for the foolishness of our culture? So the real question is, where can real wisdom be found? Well, Paul gives us an idea, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31, he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's talking about, he comes to the end of chapter 1, what we have is chapter 1, and he's talking about wisdom and foolishness, and so... He comes to the conclusion of this thought, and here's what he says. God has united you with Christ Jesus. All right. So God himself, not me, I didn't do this, but God has united me with Christ Jesus because of my faith in Jesus. God has then united me with Christ. That is, I am one with Jesus. I said it in the early worship this way. I am now joined at the hip with Jesus Christ. When God sees me, he sees Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. So God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit, not for Jesus' benefit. He doesn't need benefit. But for Joel's benefit, God made Jesus then to be wisdom. So I am connected at the hip emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically. I am connected with Christ Jesus, and Jesus, the one I'm connected to, is wisdom. Not that he's full of wisdom, but that he is wisdom. Christ made us right with God. He has made us pure and holy and freed us from the condemnation of our sin. But I'm not pure, and I'm not right, and I'm not holy, and I'm not free from the condemnation of my sin. But Christ has made me right with God. Therefore, because I am connected with Christ and I am now all wisdom, I am pure and holy and free from the condemnation of my sin because of Jesus. Therefore, Paul, knowing that we human beings, sinful as we are, we like to boast. Oh, we love to make much of ourselves, do we not? So Paul then says, so with all of that, you are united with Christ Jesus, who is all wisdom. God has given that to you, and you are now right, pure, holy, and free from the condemnation of your sin, which is the good news of the gospel. Because of all of that, if you want to boast, that's fine, but boast only in Jesus. That is real wisdom. And according to the world that I live in, that is the silliest thing that they've ever heard in their entire lives. God, there is only one true God. One. And he has revealed himself through the power of the Holy Spirit to us through his word. There are not many gods. And it's not that we as Christians, as believers, we have made the decision to choose the best God among all of the other gods. Absolutely not. That is gobbledygook. There's one true God. He has revealed himself to us in Scripture. Several years back, more than several, a lot of years back, we had a woman that came to our church, and she had been at our church for about a month or a little bit more than a month. And I preached a sermon on that very issue. It was in that day and time when we were hearing so much from our world and our culture about, it's like our culture wanted to get this right and get this straight. And so I kept hearing over and over and over again, from those who are the mouthpieces of our culture, there are many gods. The Buddhists have their God. The Muslims have their God. The Sikhs have their God. And there are all of these different gods. And you have got to figure out which one is the best for you. And you follow that path. There are many ways to God. There are many ways to heaven. And you've got to figure out the one that is best for you. And that became a cultural mantra. So I was hearing that over and over and over and over again. And so I wanted to talk about that. I felt like the Lord pressed on my heart to preach against that and to preach biblical truth. And so one Sunday morning, that was the sermon. The sermon was, there is only one God. One. We haven't chosen the best one of all. No. It's not that we can be applauding to ourselves because we, you know, us Christians, have decided that we got the right one. We've got the best one. No. There's one God. And He is the God of Scripture. And He has revealed Himself to us in Scripture. Well, I preached that sermon. And this woman that had been coming to our church was motioning me back in the hallway after the worship service was over with. So I walked back there. And she laced into me. I mean, she tore me from this side to the next. Up, down, I mean, wore me out. And in essence, the conversation went like this. How arrogant of you. How arrogant of you to preach that there's only one God. Do you know all of the people of the world? Do you not realize that there are people all over the world and that there are many gods? How dare you, the arrogance of you, little Joel Samuels, to stand up there and teach or preach that there's only one God? How in the world, what arrogance? That's what's wrong with the body of Christ or with the church, is that we're so arrogant that we would think that we have the only one true God. And I looked at her and I went, uh-huh. And that made her furious. Oh, that sent her into another hole. She had only ripped up this one side of me. Now she went on the other side and was ripping the other side of me because she wanted an argument. She wanted an argument, and she had the cultural truth to prove her argument, and no matter what I said, wasn't going to be right. She wanted an argument. She wanted to win the argument. She wanted to be able to walk out of the church today saying, I beat him. I got him. Which was fine with me. I remember a seminary professor of mine telling me and teaching me, do not argue with fools. You cannot win. And so all I did was just kind of stood there and went, uh-huh, yeah. There is only one true God. Now, if you want to meet me back there after it's over with and rip me up one side and down the other, that's fine with me too. And I'll just look at you and go, uh-huh. There's one true God. And Paul tells us He is wisdom. He's not just full of wisdom. He is wisdom. And we become wise as we live our lives according to the way that God defines wisdom and vice versa. The Old Testament has so much to say about wisdom. The psalmist tells us over and over and over again. He says, the fear of the Lord then is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom means that we have such a high reverence and respect for God that it affects every aspect of our lives. We worship God. We adore God. We honor God. We submit our lives to God. God becomes the center of our life. Richard Belcher writes, wisdom in the book of Proverbs includes the right use of knowledge. Wisdom will help you understand how life works so that you can respond appropriately to the various situations of life. A wise person can navigate all the problems and difficulties of life to achieve success as defined by God. Wisdom in the New Testament builds on the idea of wisdom in the Old Testament. Jesus, however, is recognized in the New Testament as the wisest of all. As a child, he became strong and filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was on him. His teaching was so filled with wisdom that the smartest religious leaders of that day and time couldn't even hold a candle to his understanding of the law and prophets. He was so wise that people were astonished. Paul says that in Christ Jesus, then all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. So the proper response to Jesus is to believe his message, to turn away from living your life apart from him. Repentance and faith and wisdom then are gifts that God gives to those who believe in Jesus, who is all wisdom. Belcher writes, a wise person submits every aspect of life to God's word, thinking, willing, and feeling. Proverbs 1 through 9 culminates by exhorting the son to choose the way of wisdom over foolishness. Such a decision is a religious choice that has moral implications. A foolish person rejects God's word, which is rejection of God's way of wisdom, and pays a moral consequence for not fearing God. Many kinds of difficult and foolish people are described in Proverbs. Characteristics of such people include not listening to other people, not being able to deal with the present, a lack of self-control, an attitude that they have all the right answers, a delight in doing evil, and many other character traits. In the New Testament, wisdom centers on a person's response to Jesus and the message of what he has accomplished for unworthy sinners. Paul discusses wisdom and folly in relationship to the message of the gospel. The message is that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. The problem with that message is that it goes against the wisdom of the world. Yes. A crucified Messiah is a stumbling block to the Jews because they were looking for a conquering hero king. The problem for the Gentiles is that this message is pure silliness. Rome crucified those people. Paul argues that the preaching of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power and wisdom of God. Through the death of Jesus on the cross, God was providing salvation for sinners who have no power to save themselves. What looks like pure folly is God's way of delivering people from the power of sin and death. What looks like foolishness is wiser than people's wisdom. What looks to be the way of weakness is the way of strength, the way God conquers all his enemies. No one wants to be considered a fool. I don't. I live in this world. I'm a part of this world every single day, and I don't want to be considered a fool. But the reality is that there are a lot of brilliant fools in the world who choose their wisdom over biblical wisdom. The creation chooses itself over the Creator. Now, war in Europe. What's the problem? Well, there's a lot of issues. And we could stand here for 6 hours and talk about the politics of war in Europe. But now hear what I say. The creation chooses itself over the Creator. There's war in the Middle East. And we could talk about the politics of all of that. What's so interesting about that is the fact that those of us who know Scripture realize that this fight has been going on for 3,500 years, and we think that we could solve it politically today. With our wisdom. How well have we done so far? Not very good. So there's war in the Middle East. The creation chooses itself over the Creator. Think about our own world and our own culture. the Creator chooses itself, creation chooses itself over the Creator. And that church is silly and foolish. I'm going to read my last paragraph because I really want you to hear it. And I'm not good at memory. So I'm just going to read it. My goal in this series is for you to receive the true wisdom of God revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Let me read that again. My goal in this series is for you to receive the true wisdom of God revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Even if the world thinks that you are a fool, you are united with Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that Jesus became to us the wisdom of God. And with that wisdom, you will see what others cannot see, and you will hear what others cannot hear, and you will know in your heart what others cannot know in their heart. That the message of the cross is the path to unlocking God's wisdom that He has revealed in His Word. And that is the message of true wisdom. Anything other than that is pure foolishness. Father, thank you for guiding us along the pathway of true wisdom and humility. Knowing who you are, knowing what you've given to us, humbly accepting your sovereignty in our lives, and knowing that you point us to Jesus always. And Jesus is our wisdom. Anything other than that is pure foolishness. So thank you for guiding us in truth. The world that I live in has this thing all upside down. Help me to see truth. Help me to know wisdom. Help me to hear it from your power of your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. If there's anybody that's here today, Father, that does not know you as Savior and Lord, may today be the day of salvation for them. For those of us who know you, have trusted you, may we live in your truth and in your wisdom in a world that is foolish. In Christ we pray. Amen. Invitation that we're going to sing is I Surrender All. If you've never trusted Jesus, then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31 is the gospel. That's the good news. The verse of Scripture, two verses of Scripture that we've read today, is the good news of the gospel. This is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, then we encourage you today, trust Him. Put your trust and your faith in Him. If you need to join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Oh.
are so thankful that we have two coming today saying they know Christ as Savior and Lord, follow Jesus in believer's baptism, coming saying, hey, First Baptist Church is going to be my new home. And I know that the Lord's leading me to First Baptist Church. This is Amy Sauls, and Amy is connected to Pam right sitting over there. That's Pam's daughter. And so Amy comes today saying that she knows Christ as her Savior and Lord, has followed Jesus in believer baptism, and that this is the place with worship and serving right here at First Baptist Church. All in favor of Amy, seeing nobody opposed to that. And so Amy's coming today to be a part of First Baptist Church. Then we have Ken Frazier. Ken has been coming for several months. And so we kind of got to know Ken. Ken, when he first got here, the very first Sunday, he was one of these brave guys that sat right down here at the very front. And so, my goodness, come in a Baptist church and sit right down here at the front. That's pretty brave. And so he just kind of kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back. And today he comes and he says, I want this to be my church home. I know Christ is my Savior and Lord. He told me the story of walking down an aisle when he was younger, following Christ in believer's baptism, and now becoming a part of First Baptist Church and the mission and the ministry here. And he's really excited about the Lord leading him to First Baptist Church. So he comes, Ken comes, saying the same thing. I know Christ is Savior and Lord. Have followed Jesus in believer's baptism. And this is where I know the Lord wants me to worship and serve. All in favor of Ken coming today? Amen. Seeing nobody opposed to that. And so in just a few moments when we're done, then Amy and Ken will be down here at front. And you make sure you come by and say a word of encouragement to them as they come to be a part of First Baptist Church. All right. Well, last Sunday we had, speaking of people joining our church, we had Randy and Anita joined our church from last Sunday. And we're excited about that. Say a word of encouragement to them. This past Sunday night, Taft Reeves was ordained in the deacon ministry. That's Taft and his wife, Katie. And so we had a ordination for Taft. And so next time you see Taft walking around our church, make sure you encourage him and Katie as he becomes one of our new deacons. All right? We got VBS coming up and other things, June 2nd through 5. And Micah just wants everybody to go ahead and start getting that on their calendar. Keep that in mind. Kids camp coming up June 16th through 19th. So those are things that Micah wants you to go ahead and put on your calendar for your children, for your grandchildren, all right? Koinonia is tonight. Our women's ministry will be meeting in the fellowship hall at 6 p.m. And they will be doing bracelets making with Tribe and Feather. And that will be tonight at 6. If you have any questions, you can contact Rachel Gilmore. Our senior adults, winter Bible study coming up January 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Richard Mobies, Mark Sheffer, our teachers. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table out in the hallway. And that will be a wonderful time of Bible study for our winter senior adults. All right?
Children's choir starts back a week from tomorrow. Looking forward to getting started back. We've got some exciting things planned for this spring. Also, an important event in the life of our church. We met staff meeting the other day, and we kind of tentatively planned out 4 prayer initiatives, prayer events throughout this year. And the first one is Sunday night, February the 18th at 6 o'clock. We'll have some music, worship, different groups singing as a part of the prayer time. As we talk with our choir and our praise team, that we pray our songs and we sing our prayers. And so we're going to do some of that night, but also we're going to dedicate that time with a fresh look at prayer in the life of our church. And I've been burdened by this over the past few months, and I hope that you'll come and be a part of this, where two or more is what we're calling it, because if Joel and I are the only ones that show up, we're going to pray that night.
Yep.
But we hope that there'll be more, and hope that you'll plan, put that on your calendar, and be here that night for a powerful prayer event in the life of our church.
All right. Tomorrow, office will be closed, and so keep that in mind as well. Be safe. We've got some, maybe have some weather coming up, and if we need to communicate with you, we will, about the rest of the week. But just be safe with all that's coming up. All right, so we're going to close by standing and singing Blessed Be the Name, and then come say a word of encouragement to Amy and Ken as they join First Baptist.
Blessed be the name.